From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the songs that celebrate the settlement of the West. This is Texas Matters. I'm David Martin Davies. This is the song Life in the West, which became popular in the 1840s. The lyrics were written by American poet John Pope Morris, and they evoke the call of the fertile promised land and celebrates the freedom of living so close to nature. The song doesn't mention the constant danger and nonstop labor that it takes to survive in the West, but it's one of the songs highlighted by Michael Lasser in his exploration of the sounds of the West, settling the West in American popular songs. The Peabody-winning music scholar examines the Great American Songbook to see what it says about the frontier.
No more, and there curls the smoke of my cottage, beguiling the children who cluster like grapes at the door. Then enter, boys, cheerly, boys, enter and rest. The land of the heart is the land of the West. Oh, boys, oh, boys, oh, boys, oh, ho.
Even as early as the middle of the 19th century, you begin to get the sense in this song of the West as a place to settle. It's not the West of mountain men and cowboys. It's the West of building a town and having a school and settling, the civilizing, with quotes around it, of the West. So it's turning from wilderness into a place, because the one of the things that's a very important part of the American story as the frontier line moves west is that we turn wilderness into whatever civilization is. And as early as 1844, we're already beginning to think that way. And that's what interested me about this song, because what you're really getting through the whole program is an Eastern take on the West. Most of these songwriters worked in New York City. If they went to Hollywood, once talkies came in, they left New York to go to California. There are exceptions, but the preponderance, the vast majority were either born in, of the songwriters were either born in New York or got to New York just as quickly as they could. And so it's an Eastern take on the West.
This song, Life in the West, something that was popularized through sheet music, I imagine,
yes.
in the 1840s?
It would have to be. The first time that recordings outsold sheet music for a specific song, not through the industry, was in the early 1920s. So it was a long time coming. And that was not simply a matter of more people wanting to have a record or fewer people knowing how to play piano. It was a matter of there being the technology that could turn out enough copies of a record. Enough phonographs were out and around the country. The price was low enough for ordinary people to buy a phonograph. The railroads were distributing not only the records and the phonographs, they were carrying the vaudevillians west so they could sing these new songs everywhere, and then people would go out and buy the sheet music or the recording. So it's all part of a cultural shift and a technological shift. Nothing happens without those factors playing in.
But this being in the 1840s, that was the time. That was the era of the West, of the settling of the West, pre-Civil War era in the United States. So it would have been feasible that this song would have been sung in a saloon in Kansas City.
Sure, in cities, and then you get a certain number of songs being sung and played in vaudeville theaters and in saloons, and they all are spreading what came to be called, 1844 is too early, but what came to be called toward the end of the century, by around the mid-1880s, Tin Pan Alley. And that's located in New York City, Manhattan, West Side.
And that was a micro-industry of folks who were writing music?
Take it back a step. It's ultimately, initially, and organizationally, structurally, insofar as it had a structure, the home of the music publishers. And in the early days, before ASCAP, 1914, many of the songwriters, highly professional, very successful, were under contract to the publishers. And so the publisher would say, okay, we need a song about taking the train west. Charlie, you go home or go to your office where there's a piano and bang out a tune, and Freddie, you listen to it and write the lyric. One of the things we're doing is trying to show the different styles of music, which were then given in a given case, Western subject matter, so that when ragtime was popular early in the 20th century, there was a song, a ragtime song called Ragtime Cowboy Joe.
The roughest, toughest man by far is Ragtime Cowboy Joe. Got his name from singing to the cows and sheep, and every night they say he sings the herd to sleep.
In the early 40s, when boogie woogie was still possible, there was a song called Cow Cow Boogie.
Out on the plains, down in Santa Fe, I met a cowboy riding the range one day. And as he jogged along, I heard him singing a most peculiar cowboy song. It was a ditty he learned in the city. Come on, come on, yippee.
Get along. Get hip, little dog. Get along. Better be on your way. Get along.
People can hear the range of styles, not only in American music, but that Eastern songwriters were using to write with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek about the West.
I don't think there's a better song with more tongue and more cheek than I'm an Old Cow Hand,
sure.
Johnny Mercer and Bing Crosby.
I'm an old cow hand from the Rio Grande, but my legs ain't bowed and my cheeks ain't tan. I'm a cowboy who never saw a cow, never roped to steer, cause I don't know how. Sure ain't a fixin' to start him now. Oh,
yippee-i-yo-ki-yay, yippee-i-yo-ki-yay.
I'm an old cow hand and I come down from the Rio Grande, and I learned to ride, 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 for I learned to stand. I'm a riding fool who is up to date. I know every trail in the Lone Star State, cause I ride the range in the Ford V8. Oh,
yippee-i-yo-ki-yay.
Well, Johnny Mercer had been, he was raised in Savannah and went to Hollywood. He had worked it with, he'd gotten his start as a singer with big bands. He was working in Hollywood writing songs and not doing especially well, and a studio fired him. It didn't pick up his contract. And he was kind of down in the dumps, and he decided to drive back to Savannah to lick his wounds. And on the way, driving through the West, he began to notice all these cowboys out doing their work, you know, wearing the hats and the boots and the costume of the cowboy, but they were driving around in pickup trucks. And it struck him as amusing that the myth of the West persisted in certain images, the hat, the kind of shirts, the high boots and so on, but it was also very much up to date with the use of trucks, and it was not the myth of the cowboy that had come down to us, or the myth of the West in larger terms that had come back to come down to us. And he thought that was kind of funny, and by the time he got to Savannah, he'd written the song.
I imagine it was a sensation.
It was a hit. Oh yeah, it was a hit. And it had the kind of light touch that could appeal during the Depression, where people were looking to get their minds off things however they could.
Did it inspire future songs?
No, the West was not a dominant subject in popular music. Between 1920 and 1950, there's certainly enough to notice. There are some very good examples. There are some important Broadway shows. In addition to Oklahoma, which is probably the most important, and very maybe a half step behind it, Annie Get Your Gun, which, by the way, had more hit songs coming out of its score than any other Broadway musical in the history of the Broadway musical. But there were also shows like Girl Crazy by George and Ira Gershwin that goes back to 1930. In the Rodgers and Hammerstein era, Lerner and Lowe, who went on to write My Fair Lady, wrote a show set in a Western mining camp called Paint Your Wagon. But if you're looking for a place that's dominant in the songs of the Great American Songbook, it's New York City itself.
I was born under a wandering star. I was born under a wandering star. Staying put can kill you, standing still's a curse, but to settle down can drive you mad, but moving on is worse. I was born under a wandering star. Now when I learned,
but they're there, and they reflect the stereotype, because they reflect what non-Westerners are saying about the West. Remember that if I told you to write a song about something you didn't know much about, you could do it if you had a set of associations, even stereotypical associations. If I've never been to the West, I still know what cowboys are, I still know what cactus is, I still know what a Mustang is, I can write a song.
So why is it important that we take a step back and look at how Tin Pan Alley and the Great White Way and Tinseltown, what they wrote about and sang about Texas in the West?
It's important because the songs, in addition to being good songs and entertaining songs, reflect, first of all, what I think is the greatest period in the history of American popular music. I think there are more great songwriters doing their very best work. Sheer quantity of good stuff happening in these years. There are always good songwriters. There may even always be great songwriters, but the sheer number of them, and they work. They didn't sit around waiting for waiting for inspiration the way adolescents do. They woke up in the morning and they went to work. So the very fact that we're finding another part of their work and what they accomplished is important. Second of all, the songs are not only good as songs, they're also, songs are always fascinating documents because they set out to be popular. Nobody wants to write a song that flops. Popular music is inseparable from the marketplace. And so they're going to write songs that are going to reflect not themselves. That is, songwriters are not writing about themselves most of the time. Most of the songs are not personal. They're not confessional. Rather than being about Irving Berlin or Cole Porter, they're about us. Whatever was on our minds, whatever was in our hearts, showed up in a song. And Americans have always been interested in the West. We have a whole set of associations with the West. It doesn't matter if they're correct or not. Many of them are stereotypes. They're distortions of reality. But we know them, and on one level or another, we believe them.
Oh, give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in.
Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. And I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me.
And so songwriters latch on to them, because remember that these songs are very brief. They had to fit on the old 78 RPM records. They were 3 minutes long, 32 bars, about 80 words. And you've got to tell your story. And so you use what people, so the material of the song has to be familiar. And then if you're a good songwriter, you find a way to freshen it, to reinvent it, to reanimate it. And so the good songs are familiar and fresh at the same time. And these songs about the West do that. A song like, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. A song like I'm an Old Cowhand. Lorenz Hart wrote a lyric for a show set in New York City in which someone is dreaming about the West. There's a street on the Upper West Side in Manhattan over by the Hudson River called West End Avenue. And so this person thinks about the title of the song, which is Way Out West on West End Avenue. And it's tongue-in-cheek. It makes some gentle fun of the West. But even though it's written, it feels kind of like a Western song. And it thinks about being way out west. Its sensibility remains urban. It's still about being in New York City.
I'd travel the plains, in mountain streams I'd paddle, over the Rockies I would trail. I'd hark to the strains of cowboys in the saddle, not very musical. I've roamed o'er the range with the herd, where seldom is heard an intelligent word. Get along, little taxi, you can keep the change. I'm riding home to my kitchen range, way out west on West End Avenue. Oh, I'd love to listen to the wagon wheels that bring the milk that your neighbor steals, way out west on West End Avenue. Keep all your mountains and your lone prairies so pretty. Give me the fountains that go wrong at Rodeo City. I will trade your famous deer and antelope for one tall beer and a cantaloupe. Way out west on West End Avenue. Yippee-yay! Get along, little elevator, climb once more to my lone shack on the 14th floor. Way out west on West End Avenue. When the sun's arising over Central Park, I pull the blinds and it's nice and dark. Way out west on West End Avenue. Redskins may battle with their tomahawks and axes. I'll join the cattle in the big corral at Sax's. Oh, the wild herd gathers when the moon is full. There's not much buffalo, but lots of bull. Way out west on West End Avenue. Yippee-yay!
they're doing what they're filtering what we know about the West, or what we think we know about the West, through this Tin Pan Alley Broadway sensibility. So it's as if the songwriters are standing on the east bank of the Hudson, looking out over the rest of the country and reporting to us about us from one end of us, the New York City end.
So we shouldn't get too hung up on facts like that there is no alley next to the Alamo.
No, nor is Tin Pan Alley an alley. It's a couple of office buildings, high-rise office buildings in Manhattan.
Across the alley from the Alamo lived a pinto pony and a Navajo who sang a sort of Indian idaho to the people passing by. The pinto spent his time a-swishing flies, and the Navajo watched the lazy skies, and very rarely did they ever rest their eyes on the people passing by. One day they went a-walking along the railroad track. They were swishing, not a-looking, doot, doot. They never came back. Oh, across the alley from the Alamo, when the summer sun decides to settle low, a fly sings an Indian hearty-ho to the people passing by. Across the alley from the Alamo lived a pinto, a pony, and a Navajo who used to bake frijoles in cornmeal dough for the people passing by. They thought that they would make some easy bucks by washing their frijoles in Dove's and Lux, a pair of very conscientious clucks to the people passing by. Then they took this cheap vacation. The shoes were polished bright. No, they never heard.
Billy Murray was a very successful singer at the time.
One of the first singers whose stardom rested on recordings.
And sang a lot of patriotic tunes. Mm-hmm. He covered...
Sang a lot of George M. Cohan songs.
And to put San Antonio in the lot of his catalog, I mean, you wonder, was there a fascination with things like San Antonio and the Alamo?
San Antonio, sung by Billy Murray, Edison Records.
Just as the moon was peeping over the hill, after the work was through, there sat a cowboy and his partner Bill. Cowboy was feeling blue. Bill says, come down, pal, down into town, pal, big time for me and you. Don't mind your old gal, you know it's cold, pal, if what you say is true. Where is she now? Bill cried, and his partner just replied.
Then Antonio, she hopped upon a pony and ran away with Tony. If you see her, just let me know, and I'll meet you in San Antonio.
Oh, that pony that she rode away, that horse belonged to me. So do the trinket that she stole away, I was the big marquis. I won't resent it, I might have spent it plunging with fair old Jack. If she's not happy there with her chappie, tell her I'll take her back. No tenderfoot like him could love her like her boy Jim.
Then Antonio.
Well, the South, certainly. The South is a very important subject. There was a period of time between roughly 1890 and 1920 when our cities were filling up. You know, when the songwriters moved to New York City, they weren't alone. They were joining millions of other Americans and millions of immigrants coming over from Central and Southern Europe, really changing what it meant to be an American, changing us from a rural to an urban country, from an agricultural to an industrial country. And this, the songwriter, the music publishers saw they had a new market in the cities. But rather than writing about how wonderful city life was, they chose to approach their new audience through nostalgia. And so they started writing songs about the South, and they started writing Carolina in the Morning and When the Midnight Choo-Choo Leaves for Alabama. And they started, and they continue actually up into the 40s with songs like Chattanooga Choo-Choo and Deep in the Heart of Texas. And these are songs about returning, about leaving. I've left the country and I've gone to the city, and I miss home. I miss mom and my girlfriend and mom's cooking and the old farmhouse where I was raised. And there were hundreds of songs about giving up the city or dreaming of giving up the city and going back. And a song like California, Here I Come is an example of that.
Or the song of Let the Rest of the World Go By.
Yes, that's exactly that. And the reason we put that at the end is because it does in later form what Life in the West does at the beginning. It's about the settling of the West. The West is now a safe and secure place. It's the West is a haven.
Our nest in the West.
Yeah, where lovers, married lovers, can settle and be happy together in this idyllic setting. We'll build a sweet little nest somewhere in the West and let the rest of the world go by.
Is the struggle and strife we find in this life really worthwhile after all? I've been wishing today I could just run away out where the west winds call.
Michael Lasser is a Peabody Award-winning music scholar who explores the music and stories of the Great American Songbook. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. Or you can write directly on our show page at tpr.org. That's where you can find past Texas Matters programs to listen to, and you can find us on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.
We'll find perfect peace where joy is never cease out there. Beneath a kindly sky, we'll build a sweet little nest somewhere in the West, and let the rest of the world go by. Is the future to hold just struggles for gold, while the real world waits outside, a way out on the breast of the wonderful